Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Jets Podcast on fansfavorite.com.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to another off-season podcast show here on the Jets Podcast on fansfavorite.com, along with Rick Lachlan. I'm Daniel Feuerstein. Some updates for you on this show, but first things first, you knew, you saw it, you couldn't believe what happened. Last Saturday afternoon, the New York Jets moved up in the draft. They traded places with the Indianapolis Colts. So from the sixth position in the first round, the Jets move up to the third position, right behind the New York Football Giants at number two, of course, sandwiched on the outside with the Cleveland Browns with picks number one and four, Rick Lachlan. The Jets decided to give up the sixth position to take number three from Indianapolis, giving up all second-round picks in this year's draft and a third second-round pick in the 2019 draft, Rick. This was a move the Jets really had to make, and boy, they are the talk of the draft order.
And for me, this was a no-brainer. I mean, the Jets were in a position at number six where you could arguably miss out on at least the top three quarterbacks. When you look at the teams ahead of them, even the Denver Broncos signing Case Keenum, you could still make the argument Case Keenum is not the long-term solution, and they need a quarterback that they can groom and develop into the next franchise quarterback. And so the Broncos were another team ahead of the Jets that were a likely candidate to select a quarterback. So by trading up, I know a lot of people had said the price was pretty steep, but I think this is a calculated bet on the part of Mike Maccagnan because for my money, being close to the Giants, I have an understanding of how their front office works and how they handle personnel. At the number two overall pick, they just made a big blockbuster trade, trading Jason Pierre-Paul, and they've been stockpiling draft picks. I fully believe the Giants are going to go one of two ways, neither option of which includes them selecting a quarterback. I think they're ultimately potentially going to draft a Saquon Barkley, or if teams are basically throwing the kitchen sink at them to try to move up to number two overall, they may indeed try to trade down and perhaps stockpile picks and build around Eli Manning and have him pass on the torch to Davis Webb. And, you know, again, it could be a team, and dare I say it, this would break a lot of Jet fans' hearts, but it could be a team like the Buffalo Bills that are still quarterback hungry and in search of that next franchise signal caller. So the way I see this draft playing out, even if there is a trade, I still think that you're going to see Sam Rosen go number one. I think that the New York Giants are going to look at the running back position and go with Saquon Barkley at number two. And that's going to leave the Jets in a very promising situation where they can draft Rosen, Josh Rosen, and start moving forward and turn the page from this quick fix in free agency. And you have a backup plan in Josh McCown, who was here. He's a sure bet, surefire veteran presence in the lineup. And even, God forbid, if he is over the hill, doesn't play well, is injured, whatever the case may be, you may be able to catch lightning in a bottle with Teddy Bridgewater, who led the Vikings to the playoffs just a couple seasons ago. So when you look at how much the Jets have done since the start of free agency leading up to the draft next month, it's really remarkable how they've started to change the complexion of how the quarterback position looks and how this franchise is coming together for 2018 and beyond.
Absolutely, Rick. And the thing right now is this New York Jets team, both Mike Maccagnan and head coach Todd Bowles, they are already on their tour. They're already going to every single quarterback's pro day. They are taking a look as well as, you know, private meetings with some of these quarterbacks. Lamar Jackson of Louisville, Baker Mayfield of Oklahoma, Josh Rosen, as you've said, UCLA, Sam Darnold, USC, Josh Allen of Wyoming, Mason Rudolph of Oklahoma State. Those are probably the top five to six college quarterbacks that are coming into this draft ready to go, ready to get their taste of the NFL. And while I believe, Rick, while you believe Josh Rosen might be the pick for the Jets, let me say this, and I might be the only one thinking this, I wouldn't mind it if they actually drafted Baker Mayfield. And I'll tell you why. I don't believe he is a carbon copy of what Johnny Manziel was in college and going into the NFL. No, I think look, I believe it's a different situation. I don't believe he is like Johnny Manziel. He's not wild. He's not unpredictable. He's not reckless. No, he is a competitor. Now, granted, he shouldn't have done what he did in the one game where he grabbed himself and started shouting obscenities, you know, but the truth is he's a competitor, Rick. And I think that is someone, you don't just want a robot behind the offensive line calling signals. You want someone that has a bit of a edge to them. You want someone, and I'm not saying he's got to be a Rex Ryan type of quarterback, but I believe that Baker Mayfield, in my opinion, and if I'm wrong, I'm wrong, but you don't know what's going to happen until we get to Thursday, April 26th, when the draft begins. But still, Rick, any of these quarterbacks would be a perfect fit for the New York Jets and the setup that they have for them, having Josh McCown and, of course, Teddy Bridgewater in front of them, because obviously if you learn from Josh McCown, you will be a better professional.
And look, I'm going to have to take the other side of that argument. I think Baker Mayfield, he has a lot of positive qualities. There's a lot of leadership there. His teammates rally around, and he's got a lot of personality. He wears his emotions on his sleeve. And I'm not going to hold that against him, but, you know, from some of the histrionics I've seen, some of the crazy antics with him getting suspended and et cetera, I just think he's a player that has some maturing to do. And look, is he going to be potentially a viable franchise-type quarterback in 2 or 3 years? I'm not going to rule that out. But when you have other quarterbacks that are not only more pro-ready, graded on a higher scale, and frankly don't come with that ability to be an off-the-field distraction, especially under the microscope in New York, it's a pressure cooker. Any little thing that he says and, you know, any little thing he does off the field is going to be scrutinized to the nth degree. If I can avoid that distraction, I mean, you've seen it with Odell Beckham Jr., and he has the talent on the field to back it up. Mayfield still has a lot to prove on the professional level. So if I'm the Jets and I don't have to deal with that headache and I still don't know how his play is going to translate onto an NFL field, I'm looking in a different direction. So for me, again, you know, you have Josh Allen, there's Sam Darnold, who is pretty much going to be the consensus number one pick, and Josh Rosen out of UCLA, who I think has a tremendous amount of ability and can be a guy that just arm talent alone looks like he can stack up with NFL quarterbacks. And, of course, he's going to have to get a good grasp of the offense, work with Jeremy Gates and this offensive coaching staff to try to learn how to run an NFL huddle. But, you know, for my money, if I'm going to put – all my eggs in one basket, so to speak, with one of these quarterbacks, Darnold one, and of course Rosen number two, but maybe Mayfield might have the highest upside of any of them, but he's just a wild card, and frankly he would be, in my mind at least, a high-risk, high-reward pick. And how many times have we seen a player like Mayfield with his playing style? He can make some plays with his feet at the collegiate level, but once you start getting to the NFL where the linebackers are faster than college defensive backs and you're trying to run sideline to sideline to move the chains and you're not able to do it, I see Baker Mayfield as more bust than he is a boom. But like I said before, who knows where he'll be in 2 or 3 years. But for the Jets at number 3 overall, I think they have to go with Josh Rosen.
Well, once again, Rick, we'll see what the Jets will do. And once again, like I've said before, you know, I don't mind a little bit of fire. I don't mind a little bit of hell and brimstone and all that jazz. But still, though, I would like to think that, you know, Mayfield would be a perfect fit. But once again, you're right. We don't know if he will regress into what he used to do back in college. And hopefully he learned his lessons, obviously. But we'll have to wait and see. And once again, who the Jets will pick with the number three pick now, trading once again with the Indianapolis Colts. And the Colts, I think you can tell already that they still believe in Andrew Luck. They feel they don't need a quarterback, and they feel they're going to probably go. Or if they do need a quarterback, they'll probably get someone later on in the draft. But still, though, this is a great move by the Jets. You knew they had to do something, Rick. They had to at least find a way to improve their situation starting 2018. And so far, it's off to a good start. Now all they have to do is execute it, and that's probably more difficult than easy.
And, yeah, I mean, if you want to review some of these moves that the Jets have made during free agency, we can go down the list. One of the big signings, of course, just coming down. They're finalizing the details of the contract as we speak, and that's Terrell Pryor, a Jet team that you look at the wide receiver depth chart. Quincy Enunwa is still a question mark returning from injury. You had Robbie Anderson with the ugly off-the-field incident involving police and evading them. And you bring a guy like Terrell Pryor into the fold. Look, he was shut down after week 10 last year with the Redskins, had ankle surgery, only had 240 receiving yards and one receiving touchdown. But he's shown when he was healthy in 2016, I mean, the Jets and Darrell Revis saw it firsthand. In that year, he went for over 1,000 yards, four touchdowns on 77 receptions. He's a guy that when healthy and when a productive member of the lineup, he can be a difference maker. And it's funny because the Jets, it looked like Allen Hurns, formerly of the Jacksonville Jaguars, was set to visit the Jets, but there was some inclement weather, another nor'easter that struck the New York, New Jersey area that had Allen Hurns visit the Dallas Cowboys before his scheduled trip to the Jets. So he's now arrived at the Jets facility. There's a potential that they could go and look at two different wide receivers and potentially sign them in Pryor as well as Allen Hurns. And, I think that's the right approach because you don't know with Robbie Anderson, a guy that is that erratic off the field. I mean, he could be one bad decision away from being cut and released from the team, potentially banned for a season, or perhaps worse, blacklisted and blackballed by the league. So I think the Jets are doing a good job of protecting their own interests and allowing this wide receiver depth chart to create more competition and let the cream rise to the top. And they've done that at the quarterback position and wide receiver position. And I fully expect with, of course, those middle and later round draft picks to start targeting that offensive line to shore it up in front of whoever ends up being behind center, because we know if you can't protect the quarterback and create running room, I don't care how many free agents the Jets add at the skill position, this offense is not going to be vastly improved from last year as opposed to this year until they start addressing the trenches.
Let me say this about Robbie Anderson, unfortunately, Rick. Every time I go to YouTube, I watch his highlights. I watch the touchdowns he makes. I watch the grabs he makes, Robbie Anderson. And every time I get to the end of every single highlight of Robbie Anderson from 2017, I cringe. I cringe and I'm sad. Because you know the talent he has. You know the ability he has to make those spectacular runs, spectacular diving grabs, spectacular grabs in the end zone for touchdowns. Especially what he did against the Carolina Panthers, what he did against the Atlanta Falcons, the Buffalo Bills, and every time he caught a touchdown pass and ran it in without getting the ball knocked out of his hand. Robbie Anderson right now is in a situation, Robbie Anderson is in a situation for himself right now where if the NFL doesn't suspend him, the Jets will cut him. And right now it looks like they're trying to, as you said already, Rick, they're trying to fill up all potential skilled players with that skilled position at wide receiver. We know what Jermaine Kearse can do. Yes, Quincy Enunwa is coming back from a neck injury that sidelined him the entire year last year. And Robbie Anderson had such a great year statistic-wise, until the offseason came and he did a stupid thing. So I don't blame the Jets for doing this. And once again, if the Jets do decide to sign all these free agent wide receivers, and that means not bringing back Robbie Anderson, well, we all know whose fault that is, unfortunately. And maybe someone else will take him in. But unfortunately for Robbie Anderson, the maturity level hasn't reached to its full potential. But once again, as you said, Rick, a lot of signings by the Jets right now, a lot of very good signings by the Jets right now. They have officially signed, from their website, of course, the Jets, they have officially signed wide receiver, kick returner, Andre Roberts, and left back, Kevin Pierre-Louis. I just think right now the Jets are doing some pretty good moves right now. Obviously, depth is also a number one issue that they need to get out there so that they don't have to worry about injuries. But right now, Rick, I think the Jets are filling in some holes pretty nicely at the moment.
And I think we're finally seeing some signs of the Jets turning that corner from rebuilding mode to starting to return into the conversation for perhaps a team that can be thrown into wild card consideration. Because, look, until they had a viable starting quarterback, which up until a couple of weeks ago, you're looking at either Bryce Petty or Christian Hackenberg, who now is a likely candidate to be cut, the Jets didn't have a reliable guy that you could entrust to at least manage the offense. And, of course, re-signing Josh McCown, taking Teddy Bridgewater on an incentive-based contract, and now making this trade to trade up to the number three overall position. These, to me, are calculated and smart moves. I think that the front office is being aggressive. My fear for McCown and for Todd Bowles was they were going to be short-sighted. They were going to be desperate and try to do everything in their power to maybe trade to a top three position or perhaps the number one overall and start mortgaging the future just to get a better position for this year's draft. And they haven't done that. I mean, it was a hefty price to pay, but by all accounts, to assure yourself at the very worst, the third best quarterback in what's being called a very, very good quarterback draft class, I think it's a move they had to make. And the way it was executed, in my mind, was swift and aggressive, but they weren't careless in how they are using these draft resources. And then by them addressing wide receiver and looking at the offensive side of the ball to try to improve, I think that's tremendous. And the one report that you would even inform me before the stop of the show now is out of really left field, the Jets have emerged as almost the front runner to land a Ndamukong Suh in free agency. There hasn't been details released on how much has been offered or put on the table, but Suh had told the media in reports that the Jets had offered the most lucrative deal of any of the teams soliciting his services. So you add Ndamukong Suh to that defensive line that obviously parted ways with Muhammad Wilkerson. We saw the trade of Sheldon Richardson last year. That's going to provide a major shot in the arm, and especially you had a monstrous piece in the middle of that line. I mean, the Jets, they just were not the same run defense that they were. You know, Steve McClendon had played well at the nose tackle position, but losing Damon Smacks Harrison was just taking basically the heart out of that defense. And if you're able to add an interior lineman, the quality of Ndamukong Suh, and you add some speed rushers on the outside, this Jet rebuild could very much be on its way and, you know, more than halfway done, especially on the defensive side of the ball. So, in my mind, I think I'm very happy with how the Jets have pursued free agents and valued their draft picks. But when they saw an opportunity to move up and take a top quarterback in this draft, they went for it. And for me, you know, McCagnan as well as Bowles, they've been under fire. I think they deserve at least a golf clap from Jet fans or some admiration and praise for seeing an opportunity and going after it.
Let me tell you something right now, Rick. Ndamukong Suh, while, yes, he's probably gotten a lot older. Well, obviously, he is a lot older, obviously. But still, though, the point is that he still has enough quality to be a top-notch defensive lineman that the Jets are probably looking to bring in. Of course, we all know about the whole Muhammad Wilkerson situation. I mean, if you have Leonard Williams, Leonard the Cat Williams, on that line, on that front seven, with Ndamukong Suh next to him, and to be honest with you, if Sue can also help him improve being a better defensive lineman in the NFL, which sadly I think Muhammad Wilkerson failed to do, which I don't want to say, but it looks like he has. After all, he was late coming to meetings and all that stuff, and he wasn't trying his hardest, unfortunately. But still, Ndamukong Suh, we all know the other side of what he can do on the negative, and I think you have to take that into consideration. We know about the extracurricular activities he can do when the ball is no longer on the line of scrimmage. We all know kicking the opponent while they're down, stomping on them, stepping on them, you know, just keep on going. Those are the things that I think Suh needs to do to end so he doesn't get flagged for a stupid penalty when the Jets make a solid defensive play. That's the only negative you have to worry about Suh. But other than that, he's still quality enough, Rick, that he could be on that front seven, and he can find a way to make this Jets defense up front stronger than before. Then it's a win-win for the Jets, and you could say a possible playoff candidate for 2018, depending on, of course, you know, A, how they're going to line up against their opponents when the schedule comes out. We already know about who they're facing. You know, how is he going to be used, what type of formation they're going to use, and everything else going forward. But once again, Ndamukong Suh, who has already said, as you've said, he told Jordan Schultz of Yahoo Sports, this is through the NFL Network, NFL.com, from Kevin Patra. It was Yahoo Sports writer Jordan Schultz who Suh told that the Jets emerged as a serious contender for his services. There is now. Let me just make something very clear, everybody. Suh has not made nor scheduled an appearance to talk to both head coach Todd Bowles and general manager Mike Maccagnan. But Bowles did call up Suh to inform him how they envision using him per Mr. Jordan Schultz. Now, let me just say this right now, Rick. If you are a Jet fan, and once again, you're salivating when you're hearing this news. You're salivating when you're hearing about a guy like Ndamukong Suh, who still has enough in the tank, left in the tank, to go out there and be a scary force on the defensive line. And if he is used properly by the Jets, then basically Todd Bowles has done something the Dolphins couldn't do. And that is to utilize his talents properly, like what the Lions did when he started his NFL career.
And look, you know, it's right that the Jets and Ndamukong Suh do not have a scheduled visit. In fact, before today's report, the Rams were the front runners to land Sue's services and pairing him with a guy in Aaron Donald. I mean, I can't imagine a running back or an opposing offensive line and trying to deal with those monsters on the inside of the line. But, you know, this latest report coming out from Suh directly, this is not even an anonymous source. This is directly from Suh, so you know there's some credibility and validity to it. Just shows you that, you know, the Jets are getting back on free agents' radar, that teams and players and front office personnel across the league are starting to see the writing on the wall that the Jets are not going to be a team that's, you know, a 4 or 5 win team for much longer, that they're on the upswing, and now is the perfect time to get on board the ship while they're trending in an upward direction. So I think that Sue's going to think very carefully and evaluate, you know, what the Jets are exactly offering. There's been no contract details released. Clearly, Suh is a guy that was making $20-plus million a year on his prior deal with the Miami Dolphins. So at 31 years of age, you know, he has to expect to take a significant pay cut. But I still think, you know, and by football standards, 31 is considered old. But I still think that he still has something left in the tank, a couple years at the very least, even though it's a physically punishing position. He's not at the defensive end spot where basically if he loses a step of speed, that he's going to be rendered useless. I think just for his sheer size and ferocity and aggression alone on the inside, he's going to inspire a lot of fear in his opponents. And he's a guy that's been labeled as bordering on dirty and a guy that's not been popular amongst his peers in the league. So I think, again, we may be a little bit premature for Jet fans to start celebrating and basically saying that Ndamukong Suh is in the bag and start getting those jerseys ready to go. But it is an interesting development now that the Jets have been a lot more active, I think, than people anticipated in free agency. And, you know, this is not like the Rex Ryan years where they're just addressing one side of the ball and neglecting going offense. They're trying to fix and plug as many gaps and holes as they can through free agency and leave the remaining pieces up to the draft. And I think, you know, again, if I were to give them an offseason grade, it's a B-plus right now, bordering on an A-minus based on the Terrell Pryor signing. And if they can get an Ndamukong Suh into a Jet uniform some way, somehow, in my mind, that to me is a clear-cut A or an A-plus for Mike Maccagnan and Todd Bowles. But, again, we can grade free agency. We can grade the draft as much as we want to. It comes down to the chemistry and camaraderie of this group that's together and the Jets going on the field and performing and getting more than 5 wins this year. Otherwise, it's going to be deemed a failure in a lot of Jet fans' minds. But you can't help ignore the fact that around this time last year, you can just feel it's a more palpable excitement level from the fan base and reason for optimism heading into the 2018 regular season as opposed to what we've experienced over the past few off seasons under Mike Maccagnan and Todd Bowles.
You know, Here's something interesting as well, Rick, because apparently also Sue, he canceled his visit to the Raiders. So something fell apart there. We don't know what it is, but, you know, you would think that Ndamukong Suh would be a Oakland Raider type of player, but I guess there's something he didn't like over there and he didn't want to go anymore. But still, though, still, you have to like what the Jets are doing, like you've said already, Rick. You have to like what the Jets are doing. They're filling in depth positions, you know, filling in positions with depth. They are still rebuilding, but, you know, does this mean now that the rebuild has been fast-forwarded a little bit more? That's the question. Because, once again, there is still serious questions about Todd Bowles being a head coach. And I'm not saying I'm one of those people. I feel like that, okay, the first 2 years, that was a separate situation because they were trying to be gung-ho. They were trying to make the playoffs and trying to move forward. But then they went with the rebuild at the end of 2016. Last year, it's a reset, a true rebuild. To see what this team is going to do. Are they still rebuilding? I think they still are. But if they can get at least, they got to get past 5 wins. They got to get past 6 wins. Listen, 5 wins, 6 wins now is not where you want to be. There has to be at least, you got to go somewhere to 8. And if you can get to 9 and maybe get a wild card spot, then that's fine and dandy. If you can get 10 or 11 and maybe surprisingly, win the division and beat out the Patriots for the first time in a very long time, then you know what? This has been probably the best rebuild we've ever seen. But once again, you don't want to leap. You don't want to put the cart in front of the horse. You don't want to jump the gun. You want to see what this team is going to do starting in September. And at the same time, once the schedule comes out, you see how the Jets are going to navigate through this 2018 season.
And look, you know, you want the Jets, you want them to put on the jet pack and literally fast forward this rebuild. Jet fans are not going to be that patient. They want a win now team, and they want to see the results of the draft and free agency take place right away. And I think that based on the moves that the Jets have made, the front office, and even Todd Bowles' input, his assistant coaching staff's input, I think they've worked on two different tracks. They've improved the team for now, but they haven't mortgaged the future. They've kept that long-term vision in sight, which is just a credit to them because they don't even know in 4 or 5 years when some of these draft prospects that the Jets ultimately pick, if they end up panning out, one or neither of them may be here in Todd Bowles and Mike Maccagnan, but I still think that they've done a fantastic job of finding that delicate balance between bolstering this roster, making some short-term moves that are not necessarily going to hamstring them from a cap perspective, but also, you know, they catch lightning in the bottle with a guy like Teddy Bridgewater, who, you know, I think could be a wild card that could potentially evolve into a dangerous quarterback if he gets back on the field and healthy and he develops the chemistry and rapport with this offense. I think he is the type of player that could lead the Jets to a 9, 10, 11-win season and perhaps shock the world and out of nowhere win the division. But, you know, before the Jets get to that point, they have to obviously address the offensive line. They have to see how things, of course, play out with the Ndamukong Suh fiasco, with this offer that's been put out to him reportedly and whether he'll indeed accept that. So there's a lot that has to fall into place before Jet fans can start to dream of the postseason and start to get giddy at the thought of maybe potentially rivaling or vying with the Patriots for division bragging rights. But still, you see a clear-cut plan, and you see the Jets not only working on one track, but you see if, for whatever reason, an injury, poor performance, if Josh McCown doesn't pan out, they have a backup, Brandon Bridgewater. If Bridgewater has one good year, but he gets injured next year, they have the heir apparent that's going to take over the quarterback position that could possibly be a guy like Josh Rosen or a Josh Allen or, as you said, a Baker Mayfield. So what they've done in this short free agency period leading up to the draft, I personally, as a Jet reporter, as a fan, have been thrilled with how they've not only built this team for the now, but set themselves up well for the future. And I think Jet fans are going to start to see the fruits of the front office and the coach's labor bear out in these next couple of months. And, you know, hopefully this is a Jet team that is playing meaningful games in December and, dare I say, at least in the chase, to play some January football.
Absolutely, Rick. But we'll have to wait and see what's going to happen. And it's going to be an interesting situation when the New York Jets first, let's see what happens through this free agency period still going on. And then let's get ready for the draft. And then hopefully OTAs will be a lot to be desired. Well, ladies and gentlemen, this will do it for the Jets podcast on fansfavorite.com, our third offseason show. Join us next time. We'll let you know when the next show comes. Either we'll preview the draft or we'll talk about the draft once it's all said and done. For Rick Lachlan, I'm Daniel Feuerstein. It's been the Jets podcast on fansfavorite.com through blogtalkradio.com. We will talk to you next time, and bye-bye for now.